Dr. Peter Saunders, Campaign Director at Care Not Killing. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
What now? I mean, we've been here quite a few times before with other campaigners, and it really does seem to fall back to Parliament every time.
Yes, well, we've seen 11 attempts to change the law through British parliaments in the last 12 years or so, going right back to the Joffe Bill, and every one of them has been defeated. And in fact, the most recent attempt in 2015, the Maris Bill, was defeated by an overwhelming majority. I think it was 330 to 118 or something like that. And so this is why groups like Dignity and Dying have shifted their attention to the courts in the hope of getting a ruling there. But with Mr. Conway, he's been to the High Court last year, went to the Court of Appeal this year, and then he's now lost at both of those levels, attempted to get a Supreme Court hearing this time, and the three judges, as you said, have now ruled against that. So that is the end of the road for Noel Conway, but I suspect it won't be the end of the issue, because we've been debating it for many years.
We have.
We'll tend to go on. And as you say, opinions are strongly divided in the nation about this issue.
Well, public opinion does seem to have shifted over the last 15, 20 years. It seems to be more resolutely in favour of enabling some variant of assisted suicide. I wouldn't claim that the public has spoken specifically on what form it would like. But I mean, when you get to 82% support for Charlie Falconer's bill overwhelmingly rejected, you do have to wonder, are MPs serving the best interests of the public here or not?
Well, it's a very interesting question. Of course, it depends to some extent what question you ask, and you'll get a different shade of answers. But actually, if you go right back to the 80s and 90s with this issue, there's always been sort of 70 to 80% or so of the population who've been in favour. So it's not really changed at all. But when the issue comes to Parliament, and we see that there's a huge amount of opinion against it, it's always voted out. And that's because Parliament has always been of the view that a change in the law to allow assisted suicide or euthanasia of any form would inevitably mean that pressure would then be brought on vulnerable people to end their lives.
Absolutely.
Out of fear of being a burden to others.
But the answer, if I may there, Peter, the answer I may there, because it's absolutely critical, is that while that argument is always put forward, that we can't have an assisted dying will because of the impact it might have on the vulnerable, until we address the issue at hand, that means that the vulnerable, like Noel Conway, are forced to live miserable lives that, had they got full control of their faculties, they could exercise that core human right and end that suffering themselves, if they were so minded. So to say the government is minded not to permit assisted suicide because they want to protect the vulnerable, in maintaining that position, they are negatively impacting on a significant section of vulnerable people.
Well, just on the opinion polls, incidentally, just before we leave that matter, it was shown very conclusively a few years ago that when people hear the five main arguments against changing the law, that 75% for changes to 43%. So a lot of this is about people not being properly informed about the consequences. But the issue that you're raising, yes, there will always be a very small number of people who are determined to go down this route. But even those with motor neuron disease, there are about 5,000 people in the UK at any one time with motor neuron disease. 1,000 of them are dying every year. But it's only a very, very small, minute proportion of those who ever want assisted suicide or euthanasia. And in fact, the judges said in their Supreme Court judgment just the other day that Mr. Conway could very easily bring about his own death in another way, just simply by stopping to carry on having his ventilation and oxygen, and
not
he would die in a few moments.
Not necessarily the end he might choose for himself.
No, not necessarily what he might choose for himself, but we know that the overwhelming majority of people with motor neuron disease do die this way, and they die in the main very comfortably and under stress. And the key question here is this: do you change the law in order that a small number of determined people like Mr. Conway could.
Well, I'm going to have to take issue with that, Peter, because you're only concentrating on motor neurone disease. And actually, if I did a straw poll of the people in the studio, would you like to have an assisted suicide?
Sorry, absolutely, definitely.
You are a patron.
I am a patron.
Kevin, would you like an assisted?
I'm all in favour of assisted suicide.
So, so that's 100% of the people in this studio. That's only three people. But if we, you can't just restrict it to motor. But you can't just hang on, Peter. You can't just restrict it. You can't just restrict it to motor neurone disease, which is what you're doing. I'm saying that it's a bigger debate than that, that you are restricting my choice for a right to die should I end up in a semi-incapacitated state.
It is a much bigger issue than that, I agree, because we're talking about a range of different conditions, from cancer to neurological diseases like motor neurone disease. But it's actually, the point I'm making is that usually we see it's people like Conway rather than those with cancer or anything else, people with motor neurone disease who are leading the push. And I'm making the point that it's only a tiny minority of those with motor neurone disease who even want to go down this route. And the point is that this is all about a balance of rights. And the thing is, in a free and democratic society, there are limits to choice and personal freedom. And what Parliament has to do and what the courts have to do is to make a decision which balances those rights. And when the Court of Appeal looked at this, they said that in their view, having looked at all the evidence, it wasn't even just about protection of weak and vulnerable people, although that was a huge part of it, you know, where the right to die can so easily become the duty to die, but it was also about
the
sanctity of life and the promotion of trust between patient and doctor and the care relationship as well. Absolutely, there is proof. Yes.
Dr. Saunders, what about the right of the people that are suffering? I mean, the problem is they shouldn't be having to fight this battle when they're so poorly towards the end. And that's probably why a lot of people aren't fighting the battle, not because they don't want to, but because they can't.
Well, this battle is actually largely led not by people who are terminally ill or suffering at all, but by people who are well, but are really afraid about what might happen to them during the dying process.
Well, I guess that's because we're all terminally ill, aren't we, really? We're all going to die one day.
We're all going to die one day, absolutely. And I'd say, absolutely, people who are dying have a right to the best possible care. And when people are properly cared for, and I mean not just their physical needs of pain and nausea and things, but also their psychological, spiritual and social needs as well, then requests for so-called assisted dying are incredibly rare indeed. And so we say that what our key priority should be is to make the very best care and support
Peter Saunders, I've got to jump in. Of course, we don't know how many people might choose an assisted death if it was actually legal to do so. Peter Saunders there, campaign director at Care Not Killing.